because John Huggan has been good enough to join us to talk about the Turkish Open's performance overnight. The six-man playoff finishing under lights, golf at its best. John, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
We are very well, thank you. Appreciate your time. Have you ever seen anything like that, the way it finished overnight?
Not really, no. I mean, I think it's almost 17 years since they had a six-man playoff on the European Tour, and it's certainly the first one that finished under lights in my experience.
Did you like the fact that it did finish under lights and the experience that came with that for the not only the viewing public, but for the galleries as well?
Well, yeah, it's great for the spectators, but probably safe to say it was their only option to get the thing finished tonight. It was getting pretty dark by the time they finished. And I did have slight misgivings about the floodlights, isn't it? The depth perception is a little bit different when you're under a floodlight as opposed to daylight, but these guys are professionals. They should be able to cope with that.
Well, is there any chat, John, that they would hang it over till the Monday morning and finish it there? We have seen some occasions through golf through the last couple of years when weather intervened and they had to finish on a Monday. Why would they not consider that in this situation?
Well, they announced pretty much straight away that they were going to just keep playing the 18th hole over and over until they found a winner. And when we asked why that was, they said, well, we're going to put the floodlights on. So they obviously had it planned. I think they knew that if it went beyond maybe two holes that the floodlights were going to be needed, and that's exactly what happened.
It's an extraordinary place. Now, you're obviously there, John. Can you explain a little bit about it? Because the golf course has got these amazing trees, and as I said last week, it's a golf course Mike Clayton probably wouldn't like, but it is an incredible place with all these floodlights throughout the entire course, pretty much.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a massive resort that we're in the middle of. There's about, I'm not sure how many courses there are, at least four or five in the vicinity. So it's where people come, they come for a week. There was a bunch of guys from my hometown in Scotland. I bumped into them this afternoon. They're here until Friday, so, and they're going to play, I think, a different course every day. So that's the kind of place it is. You come here and you play golf and you get a nice variety.
So what was the atmosphere like? We were talking about this before the break, before you came on, about just it looked good on television. And I just wonder whether as golf tries these, you know, new things, new formats to sort of engage potentially with some of the younger audience, whether there's something in this moving forward of playing under lights?
Well, it's been done before. I think Tiger played a couple of exhibition-type things back in the day under lights in America. So it's not 100% new, but it's certainly something that golf should certainly investigate every possibility. I mean, my goodness, the game is supposedly shrinking all over the world, so anything they can do to, get new audiences involved is going to be a good thing.
Did it look good if you're around the 18th hole, looking back down towards the tee?
Yeah, I mean, there was a good atmosphere. I mean, there was a good crowd. There's more. I've been to this tournament a few times, and this was the biggest crowd I've ever seen. So in that sense, it was a step in the right direction. But the atmosphere was terrific. The people were into it, and I think this, it's easy to poo-poo people playing the same hole over and over, but it was actually quite exciting because it was a par five that they could reach in two if they hit the fairway, and so it came down. There's lots of drama. I found it pretty exciting, to be honest.
John, did they consider going all in the six tee off at once and playing a group of six?
Yeah, I would have been happier if they'd done that. There's something that's not quite 100% fair, especially for the guys in the second three ball. The guys in the first three have obviously got the chance to set the tone, if you like, and make a three or a four, and the other guys have then got to match it. I think it'd be, if I'd been involved in that playoff, I would have wanted to be in the first three rather than the second three. I think they've got an edge, definitely.
And just one final one, John. Well, I was trying to explain to the guys before about the Rolex series and the sort of money that's involved now in the European Tour. This is obviously part of the playoffs that's in the Nedbank next week before going to Dubai. Do you feel that it's working?
It's yes and no. They haven't. I mean, I wrote a piece earlier this week while I was here, probably that didn't go down too well with the European Tour, but pointing out the number of guys who are not here. And even Justin Rhodes, who won this tournament last 2 years, he was here, but he had to be paid to come despite the fact that there's a $7 million purse. So, but that's the world we live in, unfortunately. The top guys, they only go where, they've been paid to go. It might actually have been a better idea for the European Tour to make these tournaments $5 million instead of $7 million and use the extra $2 million to guarantee the presence of Rory McIlroy and John Rahm and all the rest of them.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, something to think about for the tour coordinators going forward. But drama overnight, golf under lights and a six-man playoff. It was nice to be able to chat to you about it, John. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Anytime.